I'm the Black Panther, and this is Alchemy in Minutes. I'm sitting in Sandton today. It's a... if we look at the Sandton skyline, it's corporate business, high-end economics. And if we look right next door to the Sandton skyline, we will see Alexandra Township. Alexandra Township, you would have heard, to the listeners, you would have heard us speak about it already. It's one of the oldest townships in South Africa, one of the most congested and populated townships in South Africa. Minimal infrastructure in the way that we would think about it in the Western world. Having said that, the social challenges and the impact of apartheid, the impact of inequality, the impact of unfair rules, guidelines, and perceptions, Alexandra Township would be first hit by that. Today, I'm wanting us to have a conversation with three very powerful, influential, purpose-driven men. I have in front of me Charles. Charles is a personality and the type of person that you're going to want to meet in your lifetime. He's just that kind of person. He's the kind of person that when you think of him, when you meet him, when you're in his presence, things become possible. You look at life very differently. You will never hear one complaint coming out of Charles's mind, out of his mind and out of his mouth. He's completely solution focused. He sees the inevitability of things where others see despair. And so it is an absolute pleasure to be sitting across the table from him today. Welcome, Charles.
Thank you. Welcome everyone and the listeners.
Thank you, Charles. And then next to Charles, we have Sydney. Now, Sydney is an individual that is coming close to his 60s, but he probably runs faster than a 15-year-old. He's a man that has big dreams. And in addition to that, he is prepared to roll up his sleeves, put on his gumboots, and get into the trenches around what needs to be done in order to fulfill his dreams. Sydney is part of the Men's Forum, and he plays an integral role in terms of advocacy. He plays an integral role in terms of modeling behavior that speaks to healed masculinity. He is the type of individual that is prepared to do the work, the internal work, that allows him to become clear as to who he is as a man, the role that he plays in his community, and the way he leads people. So he has the capacity to take the time to get to understand himself at that level. Sydney's also someone that you're going to want to meet in your lifetime. He's the type of person that knows his rights. And if he doesn't know his rights, he's going to find out about his rights. And once he finds out about his rights, he's going to educate other people about their rights. So he's someone that speaks about dignity. How do we restore dignity? How do we look at alleviating poverty in a real way? And how do we look at decongesting congested areas to the extent that people can move into dignity for themselves? So, another absolute pleasure to be sitting opposite Sydney today. Welcome, Sydney.
Thank you, and welcome everybody.
Thank you,
Sydney. And the listeners too.
Thank you, Sydney. And then next to Sydney, we have Jali. Jali is also part of the Men's Forum. He's the quiet observer. He's like the elephant, the bull elephant that knows how to herd, how to protect, how to say what needs to be said at pertinent moments. Jali is also the type of individual that when he pledges his support, he doesn't have any doubts. And when you meet him, you can see that this is a man that doesn't live his life with regrets. He aligns his behavior in a way where he can walk proudly. So we have three powerful men sitting with us today. Powerful men that have made decisions around taking up the call in relation to healed masculinity, taking up the call to speak to men in a particular way, and not only speaking to men in a particular way, but creating safety for men, creating support for men. And so I am thrilled to be having this conversation with the three of you today. Charles, can you speak to me a little bit about the Men's Forum?
Yeah, the Men's Forum started in 2018 by seeing the need. Before people are responding to the gender-based violence, standing up like now, what is this now in COVID, we look at it and see the vision and the future. That's why we stand up and mobilizing men to stand up and take action against gender-based violence. Because it's not only the fight for women alone, but if men are standing and support, I think if you can heal the men, you heal the nation. So we started on 2018, and then that forum now, it got more than 2,000 members plus that are not the followers, but members who stand up and being soldiers on the ground to fight gender-based violence and other social issues. Because when we look at gender-based violence, it's a lot of things that are building up to gender-based violence. So we are dealing with the root causes of the gender-based violence.
Thank you, Charles. Sydney, you are on the ground with the men. You listen and you create space for the men to have a place to speak. And if we look at when Charles was speaking about dealing with the root causes of gender-based violence, what is your sense of what you've seen that the rest of the world doesn't want to see? What are some of the things that you've started to identify as the root causes of gender-based violence?
Thank you once more. The root causes for gender-based violence will start from communications. when you have effective communication, you will receive a response that you expect. But when you have a communication breakdown, then it means it needs intervention. And also other elements that are part of that would be confidentiality clause. If I'm having a situation with my spouse, let us be calm and have this thing called agree to disagree. Then when the storm has settled, then we go back there, we revisit that agree to disagree to say, you know what, I had to come to this for peace sake, but I still stand by what I believe. And if you don't see the same way as I do, let us seek intervention to the experts, which could be coming from social development, like your social workers, your counselors, your pastors, and all that is actually going to bring us to the healing of what could be the ills of this relationship that we have in. It doesn't only apply to a man and a woman, including kids as well, because they also interpret what they see. Be it right or wrong, they going to turn out to be what they saw as an emulation from you, the bigger people who are supposed to be protecting them. So another element would be the judgment. We have a tendency of stigmatizing the past of a person and make it look like they have to carry that burden the rest of their life. There are people who've done bad things in their lives and they've seen their wrongdoing, they've been corrected, whether self or through going through professional help, and now they stand up to say, I was wrong. I have to help on the mess that I did by also advocating the positivity out of what is expected of the genders involved. Because it's not only men, women, and children. We also have the LGBTI plus AA, you know, that are going through the similar ordeals in the gender-based violence. So trust is another element. If we have trust between ourselves or amongst ourselves, it goes a long way together with respect, because that is another element. Respect should come from across the gender lines. So we need to respect each other, start with respecting self. Then once you display that self-respect, then it shines out. Then you also will transfer it to the next person, who will also transfer it to the rest of the world. So those are the most basic things that I think are the root causes of gender-based violence. But there is a new trend of where relationships are misinterpreted. I am going to get into this relationship because there is something that I'm seeing there. It could be money, it could be status, it could be anything that is actually not having anything to do with the love or the relationship we have. It's additional things that we look at, and when it hits the fan, then we sneeze, all of us. And hence we have this GBV now being more of a pandemic now, because it's growing day by day. Every day we hear bad news. So we advocate the opposite of that, to say, as men, let us learn and teach each other how to behave well in society and understand our women and children and grow South Africa together.
I love that, Sydney. The feeling that I'm getting is that the audience, and we are in 22 countries now, the audience, they sit in quietly. They hear the plate breaking. Which could be something that happens in their home. Right? They're sitting quietly, they're listening attentively, they want to receive the healing, and then they hear the plate breaking. You know, so I have the feeling that we're sitting on a global stage, having 22 countries at the table, and just quietly listening. Jali, I want to check with you. What has been some of the challenges that you have come up with women when you speak about gender-based violence? What are the challenges around the things that women are not prepared to hear? They don't want to take into consideration. They want to perpetuate what Sydney was speaking about, someone's history. What are some of the things that you've seen as challenges when a man that is working on healing his masculinity sits with her and says, I have changed? What are some of the challenges that you find women present?
Thank you. First of all, let me humbly say thank you for this opportunity to meet you and the world and the warm welcome that we have received here. And the challenges that we have seen since I'm working with Men's Forum. What I've seen as men, we are the hope for our homes, for even the whole nation, because if we are not doing well, then we mislead our homes, then we mislead the whole nation. Then the challenges that we have seen now, if we are the head in our homes and we are the leaders in our homes and we are not leading well, this is where the woman loses hope, because they believe in us. Even when you try to do the things good, but just because Jali is not good, just because we have seen Charles, he was not good, there's that stigma in their minds that men are not good. So this is the very big challenge that we need to change ourselves. We need to behave well in front of them so that that little stigma that they have in their mind, they can change and they can see that men are not the same. Thank you.
Thank you, Charlie. When Sydney, when we speak about support for men, you know, there is, the focus is on supporting women and supporting children. And I want to make it very clear to the listeners that this is not pro-men and anti-women, or pro-women and anti-men. We're not having that conversation. We're having a conversation around how do we restore dignity through bringing healing. So Sydney, when you sit with the impact of gender-based violence. And you sit with a man in the post-analysis of he's beaten a woman or he's beaten his child, and nobody fully understands what has triggered that. When you have an opportunity to sit with the men and you hear their side of the story, what are some of the things that you hear that we wouldn't anticipate hearing?
Thank you. One of the things that I have witnessed in misunderstanding of people of opposite genders is that at some point I stand to be corrected. I'm not being a pro man, but I want to just even level the platform to say, the plane to say, we equal men and women. Is that at some point a woman would provoke you, and then you try to say to a woman, now it's not done this way, we don't talk like this, you don't treat me like that, and all of that. And maybe say, for some reasons, going to their hormonal state, they lead you to a point whereby now voices are being raised. Then a man would say, let me go outside and cool off. And then the woman follows the man and start pulling the man with the clothes and telling him and screaming at him and saying a number of nasty things. Maybe to even take it further, a man would leave the house to say, let me take a walk or let me take a drive. And the woman would say, you're going to your girlfriend's. And the fight starts there. Maybe there will be a scuffle there. Maybe a man pushes a woman, or uses a hand on a back lash to a woman, and you find a woman maybe getting bruises for some reason. What's going to happen? The first thing, the reaction would be to go to the police, or to go to the clinic. If you go to the clinic, they say, oh, you've got scars and injuries, go to the police, get this J88 form, bring it home, and now the victim has become the perpetrator, and now the perpetrator has become the victim. So now it has gone reciprocal, but now you come to the justice system that we have. And women are always protected without checking first before you can incarcerate the so-called perpetrator of the time to find out what really happened. I did not say that was correct. The man tried to evade and the woman was all over the man. But again, it also happens with men who would come with expectations at home, either coming from drinking alcohol or coming from wherever he comes, and then he expects things his way. It's my way or the highway. Whereby you find when a man comes into the house, children and the wife or the woman, they start, you know, trembling, not feeling comfortable because the lion is in the den, and they start wanting to go to their bedrooms or to their rooms because they can't live with this man. It is better when a man is not at home and drinking there and coming at late at night. It becomes a norm that, oh, you know, this man is so useless, and. And now, instead of a woman seeking help for the man, might alternatively start backbiting the man to the outside world. And that man is portrayed as an aggressor. And in that regard, you find there is no communication at all here. There's a communication breakdown. So to see such scenarios happening, it pains the eye. We grew up whereby a man, it was okay for a man to beat up a woman. If we go back to our human rights and our constitution, if I'm not mistaken, the woman started breaking the silence in the 80s when now it was legislated. It was now a woman must have a voice. Break the silence. Say what you are not comfortable with. say the things that are happening at home. But now, at the end of the day, we look at the judicial system. Are they justifying the means, or the means justifying the ends? That's where we start having the problem as well, because now it has went beyond whereby now the government says you do not lay a hand on your child when you're correcting a child. Yes, there would be spanking here and there, and the child will come to order. Maybe you pinch the ear, or maybe you pinch the rear. The child will understand that this was wrong. But now there would be people who would go beyond a reprimanding, because they're going through their own things in their head, their stresses, then they would go beyond the measure of correcting and now start injuring a person. So there are such scenarios in the society. Then again, there'll be a scenario whereby we go out for an entertainment, we're there in our discos, clubs, wherever we go, and then there'll be men who come not only to enjoy themselves, but to look for the so-called victims, whereby either they will lure them into getting into their space through paying for their drinks and expecting a reward. That too is a problem. And vice versa, you'd find women who would come very nice with their bags and their hairstyles, and they also go to such places. And I see four women here, they have 200 rands for entertainment. But they expect men at that space to be paying for their drinks as well. And then a misagreement and actually miscommunication starts right there to say, okay, I was offering you a drink. I didn't expect beyond that. And again, if you have what we call an offering to a person, it mustn't lead you to what we call entitlement. I'm entitled to have you to go home with because I paid for you. Those kind of scenarios, those are confusing the people to a point whereby looking at where I am with the poverty eyes, is that there is less resources, especially financial resources, in the homes, and that triggers such kind of behaviors.
Thank you, Sydney. Charles, now working in Alexandra Township, which is just a representation of everywhere else in the world, what makes you continue to do this work? Why don't you become hopeless? Why don't you go into, you're just one man, now you've got 2,000 men, but there's 800,000 people just living in Alexandra. Why don't you just think, no, I think I'm going to get myself a job at the bank. I'll do that rather. Why don't you, what makes you do this?
Yeah, what makes me to change the man is that, you know, I got the passion at heart, you know, is in me. So to stand up, you know, and change, because I know the lion, you can kill it beat by beat, you know, by changing those 2,000 who become soldiers, they're going to change others and others like that. So at the end of the tunnel, we'll reach the end of the tunnel. So by changing one by one is going to be great at the end of the day, because I know that the whole world look at Alex, and then they know Alex with a lot of stories. We're creating change because Alex today is not like before. There are some changes, but they can come at once, you know, bit by bit.
Yes, yes. Charlie? When you model a different behavior, right, to let's say your social circle, people in your community, people that you work with, you hear the conversations that men have. And when you say, I don't agree with that, what are some of the risks that you take when you stand up and you say something like that?
Thank you. First of all, it is very important that in your society it is safe and you are free. Two, from what Charles has said, if you don't change others, it's not important to change yourself, and it doesn't help. If you see the good things, then spread it to others. Why? If there is no reason to change the behavior of the bad man, I've got a daughter. One day my daughter will meet a man on the street. They'd have just ignored that. Because she's growing, one day she will meet that man. Then it's my responsibility to make sure that our objectives, we spread it to everyone in our society.
So, to the listeners, men, women, children, we've sat in a space today where deep, meaningful conversations have been had. We've had an opportunity to hear from three exceptionally powerful men. They speak about the lion in the den. They speak about leading well. And they speak about the resilience and the discipline and the commitment to continue doing the work around changing one man at a time, and the value and the role that that will play in the lives of our daughters. My sense is everyone that is listening would have been able to take something that was needed out of this conversation. My sense is everyone that is listening would have felt the impact and the congruence of Charles's words, of Sydney's words, of Charlie's words. And above all, my sense is that at some level, just having this conversation has brought a different level of hope, a sense of peace, and a sense of understanding that both as men and women, we have a responsibility when it comes to addressing gender-based violence. For me personally, I have a deep sense of feeling safe. I have a deep sense of surrender. And I have a deep sense of equality around being led by Charles and Sydney and Charlie. And I want to thank you for that today. Alchemy in minutes.